just what they do. That's politics. They do it on the left. They do it on the right. They gaslight you. They manipulate you. They promote narratives. And the only one who's not doing that is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
You a fan?
Yeah, I am a fan. Yeah, he's the only one that makes sense to me. He's the only one that he doesn't attack people. He attacks actions and ideas, but he's much more reasonable and intelligent. I mean, the guy was an environmental attorney and cleaned up the East River. I mean, he's a legitimate guy. You know, before anybody started calling him an anti-vaxxer, which I thought he was, too. I thought he was this nut, this like conspiracy theorist nut, until I read his book.
Joe Rogan coming out and endorsing the candidate, the only one that makes sense to him, RFK Jr. A lot of people are weighing in on how much of an influence Joe Rogan, we were talking earlier in the show about influencers. How much does this impact the race? And I find it interesting that Joe Rogan decides to go the RFK Jr. route. I see people suggesting 4D chess here, that Joe Rogan can do better for Trump by pulling people away from Kamala Harris to go to RFK Jr. because RFK Jr. can't actually win the election, can't win the electoral votes necessary. I always think that it's like taking the hardest path to get to the end when we think about that. Like, what's the most reasonable thing here? Can Joe Rogan help Donald Trump more by saying you should vote for Donald Trump or by saying you should vote for RFK Jr.? Of course, we can argue that and discuss that and probably at some point agree to disagree. But I think it does matter. RFK Jr. is going to be a factor in this race, especially if you look in the swing states. If he's pulling votes away from either of the candidates, it could very much so have a Ross Perot-like effect and cause one candidate to win over the other. I wonder if RFK Jr. manages to get through this entire election. And if he doesn't end up dropping out and endorsing somebody, he seems to have a positive relationship with Donald Trump on the whole. I can't imagine he has that much of a positive relationship with Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party, because he even offered to be the Democratic nominee when Joe Biden dropped out. And they clearly weren't interested in that. RFK Jr. could have an impact on a Donald Trump administration and work in the cabinet or as an advisor of some kind to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has had a phone conversation that RFK Jr.'s son made public without Donald Trump's permission, where Trump was leaning into RFK Jr.'s thoughts on vaccinations, among other things. So I think that there's like an open door right there for RFK Jr. to walk through if he so chooses. So potentially the idea that you would pull people away from Kamala Harris to support RFK Jr. to later have RFK Jr. drop out and endorse Donald Trump. 4D chess, maybe. Joe Rogan endorsing RFK Jr., in my opinion, is the absolute safest thing Joe Rogan can do for Joe Rogan.
I completely 100% agree. The first thing I thought when I saw that, yeah, this is probably Joe Rogan's easiest path forward. He talks about politics a lot, so he almost has to address it. And this is the easiest way for him to address it without causing a lot of controversy.
Do people who are talking about politics have to endorse somebody?
I don't think they have to. And that's a good point, is that he doesn't have to step out and say, this is my guy. I do think, though, that it gets a lot of the heat off of him, because he's going to do interviews that are probably, at this point, would sound right-leaning. 10 years ago, they wouldn't, but now they do. And so this is his way of saying, look, I'm not even on either side, though. I'm with RFK, and it's an easy out for him.
Which means Joe Rogan just endorsed Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't blame him for that. I just don't understand the pressure to endorse people. I mean, even in, like, the Illinois primary, where I cover that much more, I didn't do much of anything with the Missouri primary, and we had wall-to-wall coverage on that with our morning and afternoon drive time shows on this station. And I think we did a wonderful job at it. I was asked to moderate one of two governor debates that took place because I was being Switzerland about things. I think they trusted me with that. I was very honored and grateful to do that. I can comment on it without feeling like I have to be attached or pulled in one direction or the other. You know, I haven't come out and said, like, I endorse Donald Trump for president. But, like, do I need to? Can't you just keep asking questions and having conversations and let the people hear what those conversations produce? I feel like, and Annie, like, I should smack myself in the forehead. I'm not comparing myself to Joe Rogan. I don't have a pinky finger imprint on influencing people the way Joe Rogan does. But it's just like, why do you need to endorse?
So you're saying you don't endorse Donald Trump. Do you endorse Kamala Harris? Is that what you're saying by default then?
I just need to learn more.
You're a swing voter.
I am a swinger, and I am not interested in making a decision too soon. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I fully understand which one's the communist.
You had your mind made up, but then Joe Biden dropped out.
Yeah.
It's kind of thrown everything off.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
No, you sure didn't. Not for the last 3 years. Mm-mm. I've been standing here and going, no, he will not drop out, Annie.
Okay, so I thought he would for a long time, that he would not be the person on the ticket. Although we went and looked back at our Christmas ornaments just the other day to see things we predicted that would happen in 2024. Joe Biden not dropping out of the race was one of the ornaments that I picked. That the Republicans would win the Senate is one of the ones that I picked. And I think that Kamala would become president was one of the ones that I picked.
Ooh. Straddling the line here.
When I said Kamala would become president, I always said that Joe Biden would drop out of the race, and I thought that he would drop out, he would resign the presidency, and Kamala would then be the president. That was what I thought would happen, because I did not think that they would roll the dice with Kamala as their nominee. So maybe that become that there's multiple avenues for that ornament to be correctly predictable.
You didn't think that America was willing to sit by and watch the president of the United States say, I'm good to be the president for the next 6 months, but I can't run a campaign.
I thought that the Democrats would do to Kamala what they literally ended up doing to Joe, which is say, this is how it's going to go. And guess what? You get to be the first female president of the United States of America. You should thank us.
Yep.
There's still time.
Yes, there is.
You want to get to what we missed throughout the course of the week here?
Yeah.
Brad?
What did I miss?
All right. So the first clip that I want to play for you is one that I heard J.D. Vance. This was in Minnesota before Tim Walz was considered or was announced as the VP pick.
Kamala Harris questioned my loyalty to this country. That's the word she used, loyalty. And it's an interesting word, simplify, loyalty, because there is no greater sign of disloyalty to this country than what Kamala Harris has done at our southern border. And I'd like to ask the Vice President, what has she done to question my loyalty to this country? I served in the United States Marine Corps. I went to Iraq for this country. Built a business for this country. And my running mate took a bullet for this country. So my question to Kamala Harris is, what the hell have you done to question our loyalty to the United States of America?
I wish he'd just really make us believe that he was passionate.
It just sounds like he's reading from a teleprompter.
Gosh, you know? I know. It's his word salad. You don't know what he's trying to get to.
Yeah. Like, oh, yes, I'm going to fix the economy because the economy's bad. We need to fix the economy.
Sleepy JD.
Well, what I was going to say is I picked this clip because it really got me fired up.
Oh, really?
J.D. Vance and Tammy Bruce from earlier this week.
Yeah, man, that Tammy Bruce interview was fire. The next clip. So J.D. Vance confronted Kamala Harris. We talked about this a little bit, but J.D. Vance confronted Kamala Harris's on her plane on the tarmac. When his plane landed, he walked over and then he challenged the media.
He didn't confront her on her plane.
No. At?
Yeah.
I mean, he walked over to the plane.
He didn't storm Air Force Two.
No.
Although.
So he was there. Kamala was there.
She stayed in the plane.
At
least that is my understanding of what happened.
Hayden Harris.
Oh. She stayed in the plane, and he's like, I just came over to look at the plane. Hopefully this will be mine someday or in the future. And then he said, and also he looks at the media, and he's like, I thought you guys might be lonely and wanted to ask me a question or two since she never lets you ask her a question. Well, this author on CNN had this to say.
so many people will be turned off by this.
Stalker.
Literally, the stalking, it's like Donald Trump walking behind Hillary Clinton during the debate. How dare you, right? This is the vice president of the United States. It shows a lack of respect. And again, for women, this is a huge election for women, women's rights, our sense of selves, our sense of not having people control our bodies and not having people control us. Mm. And so that's like stepping into her territory. It's this very the physicality of it is supposed to send a message.
She's like saying Kamala should have blown a rape whistle. It's ridiculous.
For being on the tarmac?
At
the same time?
J.D. Vance was infiltrating her space, and women should have the right to their own space. You want to be the vice president of the United States. There are people who are in this country in your space right now, and you open the door for them to come here. You want to talk about autonomous spaces? Like, you're the person who's got to be in charge of this. And this is CNN, right?
Yes.
CNN anchor. I heard this on the air when I asked Brad to pull this earlier. I'm glad you played this because it made me mad. I think that it made me so mad. When I heard it, I'm like, oh, Brad, you got to pull this. And I was like, man, that really ticks me off. I don't want to hear that again. But now that you've played it, women, they get to have it both ways. And the truth is that you don't. Women are powerful. Women are equals. In fact, they might even be better than men. Women can do anything that men can do. And guess what? They can do it better. But man, if there's a man in the back of if a woman's walking and there's a man back there, that's scary stuff.
That's a good point.
She, you know, she's going to feel intimidated in that situation. Women are used to feeling intimidated in that position. Does Kamala Harris feel intimidated when J.D. Vance is in her orbit? Then she shouldn't be the president of the United States. She should about face and go tell J.D. Vance what's up. And that, no, this is my plane. It's going to be Walz's plane here in a hot second. And I'm going to upgrade to Air Force One. And you got a lot of cojones coming over here approaching me about this, and then have a conversation about it. But she hid on the plane. Are women equals? And, you know, do they have a right to be in the arena with men? Because none of that would ever be said if the top of the ticket were a man. If Kamala Harris were Joe Biden and on the plane as the vice president, when Joe Biden was the vice president, and J.D. Vance would have come up, all of that would have gone out the window. But I'm pretty sure J.D. Vance would have done the same thing should the person there have been been a man on the ticket. I think he would have handled it the exact same way if they'd be hiding from everybody all the time. And plus, if your whole point is that they've been hiding the whole time, they're going to do one of two things. Come out and have a conversation with you, which J.D. Vance is betting that he can win, or they're just going to keep hiding and prove the person right.
As a man, as a big, strong guy, I feel
You're
like the
sorry.
Rules are... No, I apologize, first of all.
Yes.
Because I want to lead with that and make sure that everybody knows that
all
I'm
right.
in the wrong
all right.
going into this.
Go on.
But
I'll allow it.
thank you. The rules seem to shift a lot, and so I'm always asking, what are the rules now? Because I just want to follow them. It sounds to me like the rules are now, as a man, we are not allowed to be in airports with women. And if that's the case, then I apologize for all my previous airport experiences.
No. Only sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
See, this is where it gets hard
but
for us.
But it's on you to read the signs.
Okay. So, like, if there's a press gaggle, just back away. That's
not
your territory.
Not always.
Okay.
Sometimes.
See, this is why it's hard.
Well, it's because you're a man.
And again, I'm sorry.
I'll take it under consideration. Okay.
Let's flip your example even a little more. What if it was Kamala Harris walking up to J.D. Vance's plane and challenging him in his media?
And J.D. Vance was a beta
and
was
he
like,
stayed
this
up,
is intimidating
yeah.
me.
How does the media play that? You know, it's like you get the girl power thing for Kamala. It's like, look at that. And then how scared and chicken is he? He won't come out to talk to her. She's just a little old girl.
I'm telling you what, if I were in the vice presidential position as a female, I would so do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would utilize that. I would just own that, which people aren't comfortable with either. It's kind of a Carrie Lake thing to do. And even when Carrie Lake is a little aggressive in her approach, I kind of lean back a little bit from it. I don't know if I want Carrie Lake to win. I endorse Carrie Lake.
You're on record?
Yes, I want that seat to go red. She won the nomination, correct? She's a candidate. Yeah. Arizona said that she's their candidate.
And Ruben Gallego.
So yes, I want Carrie Lake to win. I fully endorse her. But there are things she does sometimes. She was in the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that she has... I want to believe that she wants to be doing it for the right reasons. And I hope that she is. But Carrie Lake is totally somebody who would go do that.
If Carrie Lake were the VP in this situation, would CNN be protecting her?
No.
I couldn't get the question out.
No. No, not at all. You got any more, Brad, before we
go? I got one more here for you.
Before I was elected vice president, before I was elected as a United States senator, I was elected attorney general, and before that, elected district attorney, and before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. So hear me, Detroit, when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. I know Donald Trump's type.
You're fired. I don't have the ability to do that. No, heck, I'm fired. Bye.
In a blizzard.
I know, Snow Woman.
Doesn't it sound like that?
Yes, Amy Klobuchar, salad comb eater.
Yep.
She did the same thing. Why can you not change it up a little bit?
Well, if you're speaking at multiple locations like they're doing in one day, of course you're going to use elements of the same speech. I don't fault them for that, but it is like going up there with no ability to talk off the side at all. You are just reading.
Jesse Waters put together a montage where at the end he has her saying it like at the same time together, and she's like almost harmonizing with herself.
Yeah,
the delivery is exactly the same. What?
It's cut eight. We have that.
No, I don't want to hear it. No.
Brad, get out of here.
You were here, Ryan, when this happened. Brad, you were probably maybe listening when this discussion was had on the air. Joe Biden becomes the nominee, and I said on the air, you know who they're going to pick, right? You know who I detest the most to listen to, right? Freaking Kamala Harris. And then he picked her, and then they won. And now she's running for president, and it's my duty to play. Can we? Okay. Idea. How much for that Snoop Dogg filter?
Oh.
To own it.
Oh, to. Okay.
What if we only
the
play.
The AI thing?
Yes. That we use for X's and O's.
Yeah.
What if we play Kamala Harris sound bites, but only a Snoop Dogg?
Okay. Because it would be more palatable?
Because then I could suffer through it. I don't know if Snoop might sue us, but that could be cool.
Okay.
What if you told me the bad news in a good way?
We'll be
so
right back.
So bad.
Don't go away.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
So our YouTube live chat poll for today is, are you a cat or a dog person? I wanted to leave this just cat and dog as options, but I didn't want to listen to all the people going, but I have both, or whatever it might be. So we have four options: cat, dog, both, or neither. Obviously, J.D. Vance called out the left being run by childless cat ladies. So I think that's kind of taken on a life of its own. And now there are cat ladies for Harris, but there are also cat ladies for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a cat lady.
I'm not either.
I am a dog lady. Are you a dog lady?
I am a dog lady.
definite dog person. I've never had a cat of my own, but I've definitely been around people who have cats, and I just feel like cats are, I know that this sounds backwards, but I feel like cats are higher maintenance.
You know what? Yeah, that is backwards.
No.
Yeah, it is. You don't have to do anything. You just got to set out a poop tray.
I know, and you hope they use it.
And then you got to clean it up.
Yeah. But the dog you got to take out unless you have a doggy door.
It's hard to be, I just feel like the experience I have with people who have cats, it's more evident when you walk in their house that there are cats in the house than if you walk into a house and there are dogs.
That's true.
So, dog person here. But cats could be great. I could see myself becoming an older lady and maybe enjoying a cat and being a liberal. Just kidding. What do you think?
Party would have to move. The country would move pretty far left before you'd be right of it.
Yeah. Cat or dogs? Neither, both?
I would say dogs, but I don't have anything right now. When I married my wife, I married into both a cat and dog. And so I became both a cat and dog person, except I'm allergic to cats.
Mm.
So we had to put the cat in our old house.
Down.
It was kind of a it was kind of a nasty old
basement. How much
of
a cat person aren't you?
We had a house from the 1800s that had a basement that wasn't finished. Mm-hmm. So you can picture what kind of basement that was. It was just kind of old and dank.
Yeah, the kind you have nightmares about.
Mm-hmm. And we had to put the cat down there, like, permanently, because I couldn't be around it, but we couldn't find anybody to adopt it.
Yeah.
And then the cat, within about a month, just died. And I've always been blamed for that by my wife, because she says he died of loneliness and sadness.
She's the one who may ask me to ask you about this.
And thank you for saying yes, because
wanted to get you on record.
I am now on record as saying that I've said for years that no, it was just an old cat, which is
it
true.
It was really nice of you, though. We were just talking on break to talk about how you wanted to get a cat again.
I didn't say any of that. I did say thank you for the oatmeal cream pie, and I'll say that again.
I did give him one. A little one.
I will say now, though, that the cat probably did die of loneliness and sadness.
That's the saddest thing ever.
It's terrible, but there's nothing we could do. We couldn't find anybody to adopt it. I'm allergic. There was no option. And I've always felt really bad about that. Hopefully she's not listening.
Or PETA. Brad?
Yeah, I'm a dog person. And the reason I'm a dog person is like Ryan, I am also allergic to cats, but it's not every cat. It's mainly long-haired cats. I
just
found
the ones by the liberals.
I mean, I could walk. I can walk by a person that has a long-haired cat, and I will start getting itchy eyes and all that other stuff. So I'm highly allergic to it. But I grew up, to me, cats were always mousers. They're for outside, for killing mice and keeping the farm, you know, clear of rodents and
whatnot.
That's
what I told my wife, too.
And but, man, there is nothing like a companion dog. You know, that's, to me, like, cats are higher maintenance. There's an expression. Dogs have masters. Cats have staff. So I'm a dog person. I just like the unconditional adornment I get from my dog.
You got a question?
Yeah, I do. Okay. If in the next 10 years, if you could predict what state will grow the most in population and which state will shrink the most?
California is shrinking quite a bit. I wonder how. I mean, California has like the California thing about it. There's mm-hmm. so much there to like, and just a really unfortunate government to make it unlivable. And you wonder how bad California has to be before they decide to do something different, where you have some sort of moderate, very moderate Republican, or the Democrat Party comes out and says, we're going to make a change. I just don't see that happening. That's not the way the Democrat Party right now at the very top is going. They're sprinting to the left. So Tennessee, I could see continuing to grow pretty rapidly and shrinking. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say the same thing about the growing. I think Tennessee probably has the most mm-hmm. to gain. It's a pretty state, especially the eastern part. It has a lot of mountains and stuff.
Arkansas could really see some influx if Sarah Huckabee Sanders mm-hmm. gets rid of the income tax like she's talked about and really keeps moving in that direction.
Yeah, because it's a multi-party question, because it's not just politics. I mean, we talk politics, but it is politics, but it's also what does the state have to offer. You know, there's an art scene in Nashville that a lot of people enjoy, so it's growing like crazy. What state's going to shrink the most? It might be Illinois. Because I don't see that. Chicago seems like a fun place to be when I'm there, except for the crime and the cost of living and the things that I'm not sure what people are paying for to be there. And there's a lot of other places, like you mentioned, California, that, yes, it's got bad policy, but you're right on the beach. It's awesome temperatures most of the year. So there's reason to be there and kind of weather those bad policies. Illinois doesn't have that.
Man, the first two states that popped into my mind were Illinois for out migration, and it was Tennessee. I think Tennessee is doing really well. Florida, to me, seems like they're doing great, but they're almost bursting at the seams.
I thought the same thing about Texas, too.
And the other thing is, like, California, to Annie's point, California has a tremendous out migration, but I think you're getting to the point where the people that can afford to leave have left, and then the people that are there that are stuck. And then you look at Illinois, and the thing about Illinois is there's no hope. There's no bright spot on the future. There's nothing on the horizon. Who knows? I could be way off on that, and there could just be a surprise rising star that comes in and turns a state around. But if things remain the way they are for the next 10 years, this state is going to lose tremendous amounts of population.
Brad, you got a question?
I do. I will go with the positive one. I've got a positive one and a negative one here. And I want to go back to high school. What was your most memorable moment in high school?
You go first.
Well, my most memorable moment in high school. High school for me overall was not a great experience. My most memorable moment was actually graduating high school. And the reason that was the most memorable to me was because of all the stuff that I went through, that I was able to push through it. I was able to get through it all and not only graduate, but graduate a little bit early, have enough credits and everything built up that I could get out earlier. Now, I didn't walk in my graduation, but having that diploma and saying there, it didn't matter how hard it was. I stuck it out and I was able to do it. That was my most memorable moment.
In my senior year, there's a competition called Mr. Homecoming where all the guys who want to compete to be the top dog and get the title of Mr. Homecoming. And you have to do a talent portion to do this. And it's on a stage in front of a live studio audience. I did Riverdance. And
my understanding is there's video of this.
Mm-hmm.
There is video of this.
I demand it.
I've got it.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
So I did Riverdance. Now, I'm telling you ahead of time that the track that I'm tapping to is not me actually tapping. I tapped to a track that was a real Riverdance song or Lord of the Dance, one of the two. I don't remember. And apparently it fooled everybody who was watching it, even though, like, I'm just going like this, and I'm wearing a pirate shirt to make it look like I'm Michael Flatley. And I'm just moving my feet around and acting like I'm tapping like an idiot. I'm like, it looks so stupid on purpose. And people are like, wow, he really sounds like not just one person tapping, but an entire chorus of people tapping. So I don't know how it fooled people, because also halfway through it, I got on a pogo stick and the tapping continued.
Ryan.
But it was so great, because the next day, all kinds of rumors. I got second place. I didn't win.
First loser.
Yeah, exactly. No fear. And
you should be like what title would you have for that? Just
first loser.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say Homecoming Prince, but what you want for Homecoming King, it was Mr. Homecoming.
It was Mr.
It's
Homecoming.
A different thing.
Yeah. So anyway, the next day was a lot of fun. It was my high school highlight, I think, because there were so many. It was before social media. People were just creating rumors about me and my past as a tap dancer. And I was like, this is the best moment of my life.
Has any of that lived on?
I don't know. I think enough people realized, because there is video of it, that there's no way this guy could be doing that. That it kind of dispelled the rumor. And I wasn't feeding the rumor. I was saying no. My grandpa was not in Riverdance, because that was one of them. So there was all these rumors, but it was a blast for a good week and a half.
Best memory from high school? I don't know that I have one. Is that weird?
No.
You had to have some sort of highlight, sports or academic. No? Pretty average?
Man, I never achieved. Well, I mean, I went to state and track my senior year, but
I didn't
place or anything like that. I made it. But it wasn't in a sport that I really enjoyed doing. So it's kind of offensive. It's like all these other things I really love doing. And I mean, I can remember getting my license and getting behind the wheel for the first time. I mean, I remember the temperature of the air when I got into my 1991 Ford Probe Red with the seatbelts that went. That was pretty amazing. My parents were golfing, I think, that day. I got my license, and this is back when you couldn't just immediately contact people. And I was like, I have to go for a drive. And they weren't there to ask if I could leave. And it's like the concept of just leaving was a wild concept. And I just thought, gonna ask for forgiveness on this one instead of permission. And I went and drove for like 30 minutes or something, went and saw my friend Kelly. I was like, hey, I'm driving. She's like, hey, you're driving. She had already had her license, and she drove me everywhere because we went to high school together. And I just remember feeling free and like driving a lap around Edwardsville and then being like, well, I guess I'll go home now.
Yeah.
But I don't have, I could also stay out.
Yeah.
But I'll go home. And my parents got home and they're like, you went for a drive? Where did you go? And I told them, they're like, you know, you can't just leave. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. And they were like, okay, don't do that again. And that was really it. So, I mean, that's not really like special, but it
was a good memory. I mean,
I can remember
yeah.
where the car was parked in the driveway when I got in and I like picked at when I've told the story before, put that key in the ignition and turn it on and Celebration started playing on the radio, mm-hmm. like with the start of the engine. It was pretty great.
Do you remember being like, hey, I'm just going to run down to Dairy Queen real quick and not saying in Caseyville or whatever, like some town next door. Because it would just take longer.
I didn't escape to Caseyville on my first drive.
No. Oh, man, I did. That's my favorite Kurt Russell movie.
We'll answer more of your questions when we come back. Don't go away. And that's about the time she walked away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're doing a little Ask Us Anything. I have a question for you guys. Do you have a recurring dream?
A recurring dream? Man.
No, do you just have dreams?
I have dreams
and
all
hopes.
The time, and they're wonderful.
Are you a dreamer?
You may say I'm a dreamer,
okay.
but I'm not the only one.
Brad, are you?
I definitely have dreams. I don't know that I've ever had a recurring dream, though.
Are you more, how much of your dreams do you remember? How frequently do you remember, wake up and remember a dream?
Okay. The other day, Brad is standing in my office. And
is this in a dream or is this in real life?
No, this is real life.
Are you sure?
No. Okay. He's standing in my office and he points at something on Fox News and it hit. And this is the way I remember dreams a lot is it hit. Oh, yeah, I had a dream about
kind of
that.
A deja vu.
It was about Harris Faulkner being a famous actress. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she's a famous actress. We've had her on the show.
She could be a classic actress from the 40s or something. She's got that whole classic thing about her.
But she was. And I think it was after the Trump interview with the Black Journalists Association.
Mm-hmm.
That I had this dream and I was thinking, oh my gosh, because it was like she left the stage in the dream and then she walked right onto a movie set. I'm like, oh my gosh, she just does everything. She's
Is that
incredible.
Your recurring dream?
That's my, I dream about Harris Faulkner all the time.
Do you?
She knows Fox News dreams in general.
Do you have recurring dreams?
Not really.
Or
I
themes?
Used to. I used to have dreams that I was flying. And that I had figured out how
like
to fly.
Yourself.
No, not flapping my arms.
Hmm.
That's ridiculous. No, I could just sort of start to go up. And the weird thing in the dream was I was
like
never real.
Jesus' ascension?
Kind of.
Okay.
But I was never real good at it. I was always kind of like, okay, I can.
Brian, are your dreams funny?
In retrospect, they are.
No.
While I'm in them, they're not.
Stressful?
Not stressful. They're just weird.
That's like the most Brian Wiggins thing ever. They make no sense. They're kind of just there and meta. Do they stress you out? No, not really.
Nah.
It's just weird. What about you, Brad?
I've never had a recurring dream. At least I don't think I've had a recurring dream. When you say recurring dream, it's the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Or concept. Or
concept. I've had themes that have recurred, and they usually pop up about once a month as far as a recurring theme. And I don't know why that is. And
hormones.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can always
just
tell.
In that moment, the hormones got me thinking about pepperoni pizza. I don't.
Is that your dream?
No.
Is that your recurring dream?
No.
I don't want any more details.
I walk in and he's eating a personal Totino's and I'm like, uh-oh. Let's stay away from him for a couple of days.
If Mennett did have PMS, that's exactly what it would look like.
Oh my gosh, Brad's just going at that pizza.
Totino's alert. Totino's alert. What is your recurring dream?
He's not even eating it. His face
Can
is
we change
in
the
it.
Subject?
Yeah.
What is it? Can you talk about it?
Not really, but it's usually about problem solving some sort of issue that's continually bothering me, and I'm trying to do it. And it's not like... It's not any specific issue that's specific to my life, but the issue keeps popping up. And I don't know if that means that there's something that I'm trying to solve in my life and that's how my brain is working through it, but it's always something weird.
One of my key recurring dreams, and I have a version of this every probably week. So we asked before what our high school, like our most memorable high school moment was. I went to the Lutheran High School my freshman year. I went to Edwardsville High School my sophomore year. Wanted to go back to the Lutheran High School, so ended up going back to the Lutheran High School for my junior and senior year. So it was very disjointed. And I was a four-sport athlete in high school. I did volleyball, basketball, softball, and track. When I was at Edwardsville High School, which was, at the time, we had 1A and 2A. Now there's like 52A. Edwardsville is somewhere up there. Edwardsville was a 2A school. Metro East Lutheran High School was a 1A school. And I played volleyball, basketball, and did track at Edwardsville, which meant I had to sit out an entire year of sports my junior year in high school, which was very difficult to do. And I will weekly have the dream that Annie, there's been a change. You get to go, you get to play.
Wow, you really do have this dream often, because I think it was over a year ago we've talked about this.
Yes. But I'm always like 40 and I got to yes. go back and play basketball with these whippersnappers. And that's how you know I'm old. And I'm, you know, in shape the way I'm in shape right now, which I'm in decent shape for being 40 and having four kids. But could I be in better shape? Yeah. Am I the way I was when I was a varsity basketball player at 17 and pretty much played the whole game? I am not. I am not that girl anymore. I groan when I stand up from the floor, you know, mm-hmm. to stand up. But it's always some form of, they're giving me my uniform and I'm like, do I get to wear the number 43? That was my basketball uniform number. And, or maybe I'm playing softball or something, because I did softball in addition to volleyball, basketball, and track at Metro. And I always have the and I always get to the point where I'm just about to get on the court or field to compete. And then I wake up. So I never like actually have to do the thing, but initial onset of great excitement, I get this back, followed immediately like, holy crap, I can't do this. And then just a bunch of fretting.
Have you ever looked into how to try to control your dreams?
I can sometimes.
Can you?
Oh, yes.
How do you have strategies, or do you just kind of take it over?
I have whiteboards in my bedroom.
With strings between
yes.
points?
No, I can. Is lucid dreaming?
Yeah.
I can do some of that sometimes.
Well, they say there's a couple things you can do, and one of them is to, in your dream, try to look at a clock.
Hmm.
And if you find a clock and you can see what time it is, it kind of grounds you into a reality, because there's no time in dreams.
Doesn't like a normal dream last like 8 minutes?
If that.
If
yes,
even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I can control about 45 seconds of that.
Okay.
And then I wake up, and then I go back to bed and try to get back into the dream and keep going, and can't usually do that, but sometimes.
The worst is when they're so real and you're just about to wake up, that you wake up and you are mad at somebody, or you're upset and you're like, wait a minute, none of this is real.
Have you ever gotten like halfway through your day and then seen somebody and then been like, oh my gosh, none of that happened?
Yeah, I just did it with Harris Faulkner.
Yeah. Here's another question. Kim asks, what's your favorite person in the Bible? Jesus is a given.
Okay.
We're not going to set Jesus aside. We're going to put him in front. What is your second favorite person in the Bible?
Second favorite. Okay. It's tied between two people. It is either Enoch or Elijah, because they went to heaven without dying.
No, that's why.
Yeah. Now, I love the story. And the story of Enoch is very interesting, because there's so little of it in the Bible, but there's references in the Bible to the book of Enoch. And if you read the book of Enoch, it tells a little bit more of a story, and you don't really know like how inspired this is or how it isn't. So he's a fascinating, fascinating character. As far as like learning from people, though, like Elijah's pretty awesome. I mean, obviously, somebody's got to pick Paul. I'll take Elijah and Enoch so that somebody else can take Paul.
Brad?
Peter.
Oh.
I look at Peter and it's like, yeah, I can see a lot of myself in the way that Peter does things. I do things the way that he did. Very brash and really quick to do something, but then he sticks his foot in his mouth a lot, you know. He was the first one. I actually talked about this last Sunday whenever I was preaching. He was the first one to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah of the disciples whenever Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And he's like, oh, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah,
and then
the Son of God. And then he goes on, then when Jesus is on, you know, being persecuted and ready to be put on the cross, they're like, hey, aren't you that guy that was, no, three times he does it. Of course, he's also the one that where like Jesus is like, well, come out to me. And he steps out of the boat and he walks on water, but then he looks around. He's like, uh-oh, and he starts to sink. So Jesus has to pull him up. I relate to that so much, because it's like, yes, I know in my head that it does it. But whenever you're in the middle of whatever it is God has called you to do, you start looking around and you're like, uh-oh, this is really scary.
I am I am glad that you said that. I am doing something on the Andy Fry Show podcast that nobody knows about yet.
I don't know anything about this.
No, nobody knows about it. I've got an 11-minute podcast episode that is going to be uploaded Saturday morning. And it's going to be a reflection on the week for me, but not political. It's going to kind of be a grounding for me. And I'm doing this for me as a way to get myself out of the last week and into the next week with my head on straight. So I want to be more connected to Bible study or more in thought about it more than just prayer. And so I have it recorded. It's going to be released on the podcast, Andy Fry Show podcast. So wherever you get your podcast from, if you are a subscriber already, it will come to you tomorrow morning. I'm going to have it post at probably 6 a.m. And it's a reflection on my confirmation verse is the Deuteronomy be strong and courageous verse. And Joshua 1:9 is be strong and courageous. But Joshua 1:9 starts with a little phrase that I don't think anybody ever highlights. And I talk about the phrase in there, have I not commanded you? And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't subscribed to the Andy Fry Show podcast yet and this sounds interesting to you, I'm going to start adding things on Saturdays. This specific thing, but some other additional stuff that is outside of the news and politics that we do every day. And we put a ton of stuff on that podcast, but on Saturday mornings, you'll get that. It is a Christian reflection, and I'm not going to preach to you here on the show. Some of you probably think I do anyway, but I'm going to add that. And I've already recorded it, and I will be uploading or preparing that to be uploaded tomorrow morning. My favorite person is probably David, because I think that David's story, King David's story in the Bible, is an incredibly important lesson for people to learn about how hopeless it can look and how powerful you can be made to be and how you can still completely fail. And the arc of King Saul and King David, and then is it Absalom that's next?
Yes. I don't know.
There's a story. There's the book, Tale of Three Kings, A Study in Brokenness, was given to me by a teacher of mine who is actually a teacher of my son's now. That's pretty amazing. And Mr. G, yeah, it's David, Saul, and Absalom. And it talks about how God chose all of them to be king. And they were all broken individuals. And anybody who goes through life thinking you got it figured out and the brokenness of the world won't get to you, then you make yourself God. And everybody does it. And I do it. And that was a great book. A Tale of Three Kings is I recommend it. But I'd say David.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the podcast is going to be good, too, because I like that 3 minutes.
I hope so. Nobody's listened to it. And like I said, I didn't ask for permission to do it.
I hope it doesn't suck.
Me too. If it does, please forgive me. We'll be right back for the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go away. Don't go away. And that's about the time she walked away. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. We're doing a little Ask Us Anything. I have a question for you guys. Do you have a recurring dream?
A recurring dream? Man.
No, do you just have dreams?
I have dreams all the time, and they're wonderful.
Are you a dreamer?
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
Brad, are you?
I definitely have dreams. I don't know that I've ever had a recurring dream, though.
Are you more? How much of your dreams do you remember? How frequently do you remember? Wake up and remember a dream.
Okay. The other day, Brad is standing in my office. And
is this in a dream or is this in real life?
No, this is real life.
Are you sure?
No. He's standing in my office and he points at something on Fox News and it hit. And this is the way I remember dreams a lot. Is it hit? Oh, yeah, I had a dream about
that. Kind of
that.
A deja vu.
It was about Harris Faulkner being a famous actress. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she's a famous actress. We've had her on the show.
She could be a classic actress from the 40s or something. She's got that whole classic thing about her.
But she was, and I think it was after the Trump interview with the Black Journalists Association that I had this dream. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, because it was like she left the stage in the dream and then she walked right onto a movie set. I'm like, oh my gosh, she just does everything. She's
Is that
incredible.
Your recurring dream?
That's my, I dream about Harris Faulkner all the time.
Do you?
She knows Fox News dreams in general.
Do you have recurring dreams?
Not really.
Or
I
themes?
Used to. I used to have dreams that I was flying and that I had figured out how
like
to fly.
Yourself.
No, not flapping my arms. Hmm. That's ridiculous. No, I could just sort of start to go up And the weird thing in the dream was I was like never real.
Jesus's ascension?
Kind of.
Okay.
But I was never real good at it. I was always kind of like, okay, I can.
Brian, are your dreams funny?
In retrospect, they are. No. While I'm in them, they're not.
Stressful?
Not stressful. They're just weird.
That's like the most Brian Wiggins thing ever. They make no sense. They're kind of just there in meta. Do they stress you out? No, not really.
Nah.
It's just weird. What about you, Brad?
I've never had a recurring dream. At least I don't think I've had a recurring dream. When you say recurring dream, it's the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Or concept. Or
concept. I've had themes that have recurred, and they usually pop up about once a month as far as a recurring theme. And I don't know why that is. And
hormones.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always just tell.
In that moment. The hormones got me thinking about pepperoni pizza. I don't.
Is that your dream?
No.
Is that your recurring dream?
No.
I don't want any more detail.
I walk in and he's eating a personal Totino's and I'm like, uh-oh. I stay away from him for a couple of days.
If Mennett did have PMS, that's exactly what it would look like.
Oh my gosh, Brad's just going at that pizza.
Totino's alert. Totino's alert. What is your recurring dream?
He's not even eating it. His face.
Can we change the subject?
Yeah.
What is it? Can you talk about it?
Not really, but it's usually about problem solving some sort of issue that's continually bothering me, and I'm trying to do it. And it's not like it's not any specific issue that's specific to my life, but the issue keeps popping up, and I don't know if that means that there's something that I'm trying to solve in my life. And that's how my brain is working through it. But it's always something weird.
One of my key recurring dreams, and I have a version of this every probably week. So we asked before what our high school, like our most memorable high school moment was. I went to the Lutheran High School my freshman year. I went to Edwardsville High School my sophomore year. Wanted to go back to the Lutheran High School. So ended up going back to the Lutheran High School for my junior and senior year. So it was very disjointed. And I was a four-sport athlete in high school. I did volleyball, basketball, softball, and track. When I was at Edwardsville High School, which was, at the time, we had 1A and 2A. Now there's like 52A. Edwardsville is somewhere up there. Edwardsville was a 2A school. Metro East Lutheran High School was a 1A school. And I played volleyball, basketball, and did track at Edwardsville, which meant I had to sit out an entire year of sports my junior year in high school, which was very difficult to do. And I will weekly have the dream that Annie, there's been a change. You get to go, you get to play.
Wow, you really do have this dream often, because I think it was over a year ago we've talked about this.
Yes, but I'm always like 40 and I got to yes. go back and play basketball with these whippersnappers. And that's how you know I'm old. And I'm, you know, in shape the way I'm in shape right now, which I'm in decent shape for being 40 and having four kids, but could I be in better shape? Yeah. Am I the way I was when I was a varsity basketball player at 17 and pretty much played the whole game? I am not. I am not that girl anymore. I groan when I stand up from the floor, to stand up. But it's always some form of, they're giving me my uniform and I'm like, do I get to wear the number 43? That was my basketball uniform number. Or maybe I'm playing softball or something, because I did softball in addition to volleyball, basketball, and track at Metro. And I always have the and I always get to the point where I'm just about to get on the court or field to compete, and then I wake up. So I never like actually have to do the thing. But initial onset of great excitement, I get this back, followed immediately like, holy crap, I can't do this. And then just a bunch of fretting.
Have you ever looked into how to try to control your dreams?
I can sometimes.
Can you?
Oh, yes.
Do you have strategies, or do you just kind of take it over?
I have whiteboards in my bedroom.
With strings between points?
No, I can. Is lucid dreaming?
Yeah.
I can do some of that sometimes.
Well, they say there's a couple things you can do, and one of them is to, in your dream, try to look at a clock. And if you find a clock and you can see what time it is, it kind of grounds you into a reality, because there's no time in dreams.
Doesn't like a normal dream last like 8 minutes?
If that.
If
yes,
even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I can control about 45 seconds of that.
Okay.
And then I wake up, and then I go back to bed and try to get back into the dream and keep going and can't usually do that, but sometimes.
The worst is when they're so real and you're just about to wake up, that you wake up and you are mad at somebody or you're upset and you're like, wait a minute, none of this is real.
Have you ever gotten like halfway through your day and then seen somebody and then been like, oh my gosh, none of that happened?
Yeah, I just did it with Harris Faulkner.
Yeah. Here's another question. Kim asks, what's your favorite person in the Bible? Jesus is a given.
Okay.
We're not going to set Jesus aside. We're going to put him in front. What is your second favorite person in the Bible?
Second favorite. Okay. It's tied between two people. It is either Enoch or Elijah because they went to heaven without dying.
No, that's why.
Yeah. Now, I love the story. And the story of Enoch is very interesting because there's so little of it in the Bible, but there's references in the Bible to the book of Enoch. And if you read the book of Enoch, it tells a little bit more of a story and you don't really know like how inspired this is or how it isn't. So he's a fascinating, fascinating character. As far as like learning from people though, like Elijah's pretty awesome. I mean, obviously somebody's got to pick Paul. I'll take Elijah and Enoch so that somebody else can take Paul.
Brad?
Peter.
Oh.
I look at Peter and it's like, yeah, I can see a lot of myself in the way that Peter does things. I do things the way that he did. Very brash and really quick to do something, but then he sticks his foot in his mouth a lot, you know. He was the first one. I actually talked about this last Sunday whenever I was preaching. He was the first one to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah of the disciples whenever Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And he's like, oh, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah,
and then
the Son of God. And then he goes on, then when Jesus is on, you know, being persecuted and ready to be put on the cross, they're like, hey, aren't you that guy that was, no, three times he does it. Of course, he's also the one that where like Jesus is like, well, come out to me. And he steps out of the boat and he walks on water, but then he looks around. He's like, uh-oh, and he starts to sink. So Jesus has to pull him up. I relate to that so much because it's like, yes, I know in my head that does it. But whenever you're in the middle of whatever it is God has called you to do, you start looking around and you're like, uh-oh, this is really scary.
I am glad that you said that. I am doing something on the Andy Fry Show podcast that nobody knows about yet.
I don't know anything about this.
No, nobody knows about it. I've got an 11-minute podcast episode that is going to be uploaded Saturday morning. And it's going to be a reflection on the week for me, but not political. It's going to kind of be a grounding for me. And I'm doing this for me as a way to get myself out of the last week and into the next week with my head on straight. So I want to be more connected to Bible study or more in thought about it more than just prayer. And so I have it recorded. It's going to be released on the podcast, Andy Fry Show podcast. So wherever you get your podcast from, if you are a subscriber already, it will come to you tomorrow morning. I'm going to have it post at probably 6 a.m. And it's a reflection on my confirmation verse is the Deuteronomy be strong and courageous verse. And Joshua 1:9 is be strong and courageous. But Joshua 1:9 starts with a little phrase that I don't think anybody ever highlights. And I talk about the phrase in there, have I not commanded you? And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't subscribed to the Andy Fry Show podcast yet, and this sounds interesting to you, I'm going to start adding things on Saturdays. This specific thing, but some other additional stuff that is outside of the news and politics that we do every day. And we put a ton of stuff on that podcast, but on Saturday mornings, you'll get that. It is a Christian reflection, and I'm not going to preach to you here on the show. Some of you probably think I do anyway, but I'm going to add that, and I've already recorded it, and I will be uploading or preparing that to be uploaded tomorrow morning. My favorite person is probably David, because I think that David's story, King David's story in the Bible, is an incredibly important lesson for people to learn about how hopeless it can look and how powerful you can be made to be and how you can still completely fail. And the arc of King Saul and King David, and then is it Absalom that's next?
Yes. I don't know.
There's a story. There's the book, Tale of Three Kings, A Study in Brokenness, was given to me by a teacher of mine who is actually a teacher of my son's now. That's pretty amazing. And Mr. G, yeah, it's David, Saul, and Absalom. And it talks about how God chose all of them to be king, and they were all broken individuals. And anybody who goes through life thinking you got it figured out and the brokenness of the world won't get to you, then you make yourself God. And everybody does it. And I do it. And that was a great book. A Tale of Three Kings is I recommend it. But I'd say David.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the podcast is going to be good, too, because I liked that 3 minutes.
I hope so. Nobody's listened to it. And like I said, I didn't ask for permission to do it.
I hope it doesn't suck.
Me too. If it does, please forgive me. We'll be back for the 2 o'clock hour. Don't go away.